अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विजे गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय अंगश्यामलिं छटाभिरवितो मन्दे कृतेन्दीवरं जड्डञ्जागुडरोचसंविदधतङ्पट्टम्बरस्य श्रिया वृन्दारण्यनिवासिनं हृदि लसद्दामाभिरामोदरं राधास्कन्दनिवेशितो जलभुजं ध्यायेन्द्रा श्री श्री माधुर्य कादम्बिनी কালকে বলেছিলেন কৃষ্ণ স্বপ্রকাশ, যখন তিনি কৃপা করেন তখন ভক্তগণের ইন্দ্রিয়তে নিজেকে প্রকাশ করেন। যেরকম স্বেচ্ছাপূর্বক যদুকুলেতে কৃষ্ণরূপে আর রামচন্দ্র রূপেতে রঘুকুল মধ্যে তিনি আবির্ভূত হয়েছিলেন। ভক্তিদেহ স্বয়ং প্রকাশ। ভক্তি মানে কি? কৃষ্ণের সেবা। কৃষ্ণের সেবা সর্বাধিক ব্রজবাসীগণের, তার মধ্যেও আবার দাস সখ্য বাৎসল্য তদপেক্ষা গোপীগণ, তার মধ্যেও আবার শ্রীমতী রাধিকা। রাধিকা যেরকম কৃষ্ণের সেবা করেন অন্য কেউ করতে পারেন না। সে রাধিকা দেবী কৃষ্ণের লাগলি শক্তি, তিনি ভক্ত। তো তিনি স্বয়ং প্রকাশ, সর্বশক্তিমান ভগবানের মতো উনকি স্বরূপ শক্তি ভক্তি ভি স্বয়ং প্রকাশ হয়। জব ও দেখতি হ্যায় কি হমকো প্রকাশিত হোনে কি জরুরত হ্যায় তো ও প্রকাশিত হতি হ্যায়। উনকি স্বপ্রকাশতা প্রকাশতা কি সিদ্ধি কে লিয়ে অন্য কোন কারণের অপেক্ষা নাই। ভাগবতে বলা হচ্ছে যত ভক্তির অধ্যক্ষ যে আহে তুকা অপ্রতিহতা, অপ্রতিহতা কোন প্রতিবন্ধক যেখানে নাই। তৈল ধারাবত অবিচ্ছিন্ন গতিতে অধ্যক্ষ ভগবত ভক্তি বিনা কৃষি কারণকে স্বয়ং উদিত হতি হয়। এই ভক্তি দেবী স্বয়ং উদিত হয়। আরো অন্যত্র শ্রীমদ ভাগবতে বলা হইয়াছে যদিচ্ছায়া মত কথা দো, মেরি স্বরূপ শক্তি ভক্তি কি কৃপা হি সে হি মেরি লীলায় কথা মে রুচি উৎপন্ন হতি হে মত ভক্তি চ যদিচ্ছায়া। সর্বত্র যদিচ্ছায়াই উপচিতা, সর্বত্রই ভক্তি সম্বন্ধে বলা হয়েছে যে স্বপ্রকাশ তিনি, বিনা কারণ স্বচ্ছন্দ রূপে উদিত হওয়া করতে হয়। ভগবান যে প্রকাশ স্বেচ্ছাপূর্বক যদুবংশ মে কৃষ্ণ और रघुवंश में राम आदि के रूप में आविर्भूत होते हैं, प्रकट होते हैं। और पुनः भक्तों की अंतर इंद्रिय, भक्तगणेर अंतर इंद्रियते और बाहर इंद्रियते स्वेच्छा पूर्वक स्फूर्ति अथवा अनुभूत होते हैं। उसी प्रकार सच्चिदानंद रूपा उनकी स्वरूप शक्ति स्वप्रकाश भक्ति भी स्वेच्छा से ही भक्तों के अंतर इंद्रिय और बहिर इंद्रियों में स्फूर्ति या अनुभूत होती है। किसी कारण की अपेक्षा नहीं रखती भक्ति कृष्णे मतो सचिदानंदमयी गोपाल तापनी उपदेश देते बोला हुई छे विज्ञानानंद घन आनंद घनन सचिदानंदयी करसे भक्ति जोगे तिष्ठते। जो विज्ञान और आनंद की घनी भूति मूर्ति है वही श्री कृष्ण सचिदानंद रूपा भक्ति योग में प्रकाश पाते हैं। यदि भक्ति सचिदानंद ना हो तो कभी भी भगवान उसके वशीभूत नहीं होते, इसलिए भक्ति सचिदानंदमयी है। जड़ इंद्रियों के भक्तों के जड़ इंद्रियों में कैसे प्रकाशित होती है, जैसे ज्वलंत आग में तपकर लोहे का एक टुकड़ा लाल हो जाता है और आग जैसा हो जाता है और दहन करता है, ठीक भक्ति भी भक्तों की इंद्रियों में तदात्म होकर जड़ इंद्रियों में भक्ति प्रकाशित होती है और उनके जड़त्व को ध्वंस कर अपनी भांति सच्चिदानंदमयी बना लेती है। यदि कहो जो भक्ति स्वप्रकाश है तो भगवान की कृपा से ही भक्ति प्रकाशित होती है, नहीं ऐसा नहीं कह सकते। भगवान की कृपा से, क्योंकि भक्ति ही तो स्वप्रकाश है, भगवान की इच्छा जान करके वो अपने प्रकाशित हो सकती है। यदि कहो उत्तम आदि भक्तों के कृपा से प्रकाशित होती है तो ऐसा भी नहीं कह सकते। भगवान की भक्ति को इसलिए स्वप्रकाश नहीं कह सकते भक्ति कि यदि भगवान यदि कृपा करेंगे तो पक्षपात हो जाएगा। भगवान उस पर भक्ति दे करके करते हैं कृपा करके और उस पर नहीं करते, भगवान में पक्षपात का दोष हो जाएगा। और दूसरी तब भक्तों के तरफ में भी जैसे नारद इत्यादि भक्त हैं तो उनके कृपा में भी ये बात आएगी कि उन पर कृपा नहीं किया इस पर कृपा किया। किंतु शास्त्रों में ऐसा कहा गया है भगवान के प्रति प्रेम भक्तों के प्रति मैत्री भाव और बालिशों के ऊपर में कृपा और जो भगवत विद्वेषी है उनके प्रति उपेक्षा, ये मध्यम भक्तों के अधिकार का कार्य है। जो मध्यम भक्त है इसलिए वे बालिशों के ऊपर में कृपा करके भक्ति जो देते हैं या उनका पक्षपात नहीं है। इसलिए भक्ति कैसे होती है, ऐसे मध्यम अधिकारी लोग सब लोगों को बुलाकर और उनको भक्ति प्रदान करते हैं, क्योंकि इनका अधिकार है देने का। जब वो देंगे तो हो सकता है कि भगवान की भी कृपा हो जाए, किंतु भक्ति असल में मध्यम भक्तों के कृपा से ही संभव है।
Therefore, continuing Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Simajuja Kadambini. Therefore, conclusion is that Krishna is Swaprakash. He is independently manifested or self-manifested. He is Swaicha Purva. His desire is also independent. Therefore, when Krishna desires, then we can say that bhakti may enter the heart of the devotee and reveal his name, form, qualities and pastimes. Sri Ram manifested himself in the Raghu dynasty, and Krishna manifested himself in the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, and to display, to manifest, what is bhakti? Therefore, like Bhagavan is independent, bhakti is also like of the same nature. It is also Swayam Prakash. She manifests according to her own desire. She is not dependent upon anything. Therefore, what is bhakti? In a similar way, we say bhakti is seva. And the topmost limit of that tendency to perform service to Krishna is found in a very natural way in the Brijvasis, who serve Krishna, especially in four rasas of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Manuras. And of all the Brijvasis, Srimati Radhika serves, her service is of the topmost limit, the topmost quality. Therefore, when necessary, he manifests himself, and when necessary, he manifests the devotion in the heart of the devotee. Therefore, Krishna is not independent, his bhakti is not independent. Krishna is independent, his bhakti is independent, and his devotee is independent. These three things. Therefore, bhakti must of itself be of the nature of having no material cause and flowing in an unbroken chain. Yatir bhakti and oxaja. Savaipum samparo dharma yatir bhakti and oxaja. Ahojiki means no material cause, apityatma, and unbroken like a flow of oil from a jar. Therefore, Bhakti Devi, she is independent because she is Krishna's own Swarup Shakti. Therefore, that Swarup Shakti, Krishna's own energy, she gives ruchi, taste in hearing Hari Katha. Therefore, bhakti is dependent on Krishna only, nothing else. How bhakti manifests on the internal and the external senses of the devotee. How Krishna manifests his name, form, qualities and pastimes to the devotee. Therefore, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that bhakti, she is Satchidananda-moy. She is also of the same nature as Krishna. Otherwise, if she has any material quality, then how she control Krishna? Therefore, like Krishna is Satchidananda-moy, Satchidananda, then Bhakti Devi is also Satchidananda-moy. She has the same nature. Then, one may say, with the senses of the devotee are material, then how Bhakti can manifest the material senses of a devotee? The example is given like putting a piece of iron into fire. That iron will become tadatmic with the fire and attain the qualities of the fire by association. So as bhakti manifests on the senses, internal and external senses of the devotee, then the material quality of those senses is destroyed and the senses of the devotee become the same as Krishna's senses. then one can realize Krishna's nature. Then some question may come. But if bhakti is independent, then bhakti must be dependent upon Krishna, because nothing is independent of Krishna. The answer is no. Bhakti is not dependent on the mercy of Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan's mercy is for everyone, therefore it's not that Krishna gives mercy to him and not to him. Otherwise the fault of Pakshapat, the fault of partiality will come in Krishna. Therefore that fault is not there. Then someone may say, but bhakti is dependent on the mercy of devotee? The answer is also no. Because Uttam Bhakta is equal to everyone, therefore bhakti is also not found by his mercy. Otherwise he may also have be criticized for having partiality. Therefore the conclusion is that bhakti is attained by the mercy of a Madhyamanika. He has the adhika or the qualification to distribute that bhakti. Because he has prem towards Bhagavan, Ishwara Tata Denishu. He has friendship to those on the same platform as him. Kripa Maitri, friendship. To those who are less than him. Kanishtanikari, that Madhyamanikari gives mercy. And to those who are envious, that Madhyamanikari will avoid them. Therefore these four symptoms are present in a Madhyamanika. Therefore by the association of such a Madhyamanikari, one achieves bhakti, there is no other cause.
যত্রিচ্ছা শব্দের ব্যাখ্যা যদি বলা যায়, কোন ভাগ্যের দ্বারা ভক্তি হয় যদি মানা যায়, তাহলে ভাগ্য কি সৎকর্ম দ্বারা, শুভ কর্ম দ্বারা একটি ভাগ্যে উদিত হয়। যদি ওই শুভ কর্মের দ্বারা ওই ভাগ্যকে স্বীকার করা যায়, তাহলে ভক্তি শুভ কর্মের অধীন হয়ে যায়। ऐसी दशा में ভক্তি মে কর্ম কি পরতন্ত্রতা কা দোষ স্পর্শ করতা হয়। শুভ কর্ম না হলে তাহলে ভক্তি হলো না, তাহলে যে শুভ কর্মের অধীন ভক্তি হয়ে যায়। সবই শাস্ত্র মে ভক্তি কো স্বপ্রকাশ কহা গিয়া হ্যা, ইসলিয়ে ইয়ে ঠিক নেই। সবই শ্রুতিও স্মৃতিও মে ভক্তি কো ভগবান কি ভক্তি সচিদানন্দ আর স্বরূপ শক্তি কি বৃত্তি কহা গিয়া হ্যা। অত ভক্তি কো পরতন্ত্র মাননে সে উসকি স্বপ্রকাশিতা কো অস্বীকার করলে শ্রুতি বচনো কি অবহেলা জনিত অপরাধ হো যায়েগা। द्वितीय, यदि उस भाग के ना भी अति भाग्य न, यदि उस भाग्य को शुभ कर्मों के अभाव के जनित कहा जाए, तो ऐसा होने पर भाग्य उदय होने का कारण अज्ञात है। वह भाग्य भी असिद्ध हो जाता है। जो स्वयं असिद्ध है वह किसी दूसरे का कारण कैसे हो सकता है। और तृतीय, यदि भगवान की कृपा को ही उस भाग्य का उदय बतलाया जाए, तो उनकी कृपा प्राप्ति का कारण क्या है, फिर उसका कारण क्या है। उत्तरोत्तर कारण ढूंढने पर कोई निश्चित अवस्था न होने से अनवस्था का दोष स्पर्श करता है, इसलिए ये भी ठीक नहीं। चतुर्थतः, भगवान की हैति की कृपा को ही यदि भाग्य मान लिया जाए, ये भगवान की कृपा ही ये है, उसी से भक्ति हो गई, तो उस हैत की कृपा से सभी जीवों को भक्ति लाभ करने का सौभाग्य करना उचित है। सभी जीवों को क्यों नहीं भाग्य हुआ, भगवान की कृपा उसी के ऊपर में क्यों हुई। इसलिए भगवान पर निष्पक्षता का कुछ आरोप लगता है, जो निष्पक्ष नहीं है। क्यों एक को दिया दूसरे को नहीं दिया। यदि कोई भगवान में विषमता का दोष नहीं है, क्योंकि वे भक्तों का पालन करते हैं, असुरों का संहार करते हैं। तो उसके उत्तर में करते हैं, दुष्टों को दमन करने में और अपने भक्तों को पालन करने में भगवान की जो विषमता देखी जाती है वह दोष नहीं बल्कि उनका महान भूषण है या उनके महान गुण का ही परिचय है। क्योंकि भगवान में भक्त वात्सल्य गुण अनन्य समस्त गुणों से ऊपर विराजमान रहता है। विशेषतः असुर के संहार में भी भगवान की कृपा होती है, उनको कहां मुक्ति देते हैं संसार से, क्योंकि भगवान उनके भक्तों के विद्वेषों के फलस्वरूप असुरों की आत्मा अनंत काल महादुखमय नरक आदि का भोग करेगी, वे कभी भक्ति नहीं प्राप्त कर सकेंगे। इसलिए भगवान कृपा करके संहार के बहाने योगियों के लिए भी दुर्लभ मुक्ति उनको प्रदान करते हैं। ये भगवान की भी कृपा है। इसलिए सब विचार करके यही बतलाया गया भगवत भक्त जो मध्यम कोटि का है, उत्तम नहीं मध्यम कोटि का है, वो भगवान के प्रति मैत्री कृपा, वैष्णव के प्रति संभव मैत्री। मैत्री भी तीन प्रकार की, अपने से उत्तम यदि वैष्णव है श्रद्धा युक्त मैत्री होगी, बराबर वालों के प्रति यथार्थ मैत्री, और अपने से कम वालों पर उनको संग दान करके उनको भी उत्तम करने की, और जो बाली सतत श्रद्धालु है मायावाद का दोष जिसमें नहीं है ऐसे श्रद्धालु साधकों को कृपा करके ये भक्ति देते हैं। इसलिए अंत में यही निर्णय हुआ। विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर कहते हैं भक्तों की करुणा से ही कृपा से ही भगवत भक्ति होती है। दोष इसलिए नहीं है कि मध्यम भक्त कहां से देता है भक्ति, क्योंकि उनके अंदर में भक्ति है, उसी भक्ति को दूसरों के हृदय में संचरित करते हैं, इसलिए इनकी कृपा में दोष नहीं है। ओ यू कैन ट्रांसलेट
भक्ति As we go to the Gurudev Tour, bhakti is completely independent. So never under control by any karma, any subha karma, any other karma. So Gurudev has given four reasons. What is the... So Vishnu Thakur has told, yadrichchaya means, if Sri Sri Thakur is explaining that if bhakti comes due to some good virtue, is it okay or not? Sri Chakravarti Thakur has told by himself that if somebody can consider that by Subha Karma Bhakti is manifested somebody's heart, by good karma is bhakti may manifest somebody's heart, or by the absence of bad karma bhakti may manifest, that it is not correct. Why not? If so, then bhakti is completely controlled by karma. But by karma, good karma, you can get some good fortune. By that good fortune, by that summa karma, bhakti not possible, because then bhakti will be controlled by, under control by summa karma, but it's not possible, because bhakti is completely independent. It never be controlled or dependent by summa karma. The second one, if somebody can address this question, that the absence of Subha Karma, then some good fortune will come. If by that bhakti will come, well, it is not correct also. Why not? Because how that fortune is coming, its cause is not known by anyone. So when he is imperfect by himself, then how he can make perfect to others? So absence of Subha Karma is not possible to arise bhakti also. The third one,
If Bhagavan Kripa, if somebody thought that by the mercy of Bhagavan, someone can get bhakti, that is not possible also. Why not? Because Sri Gurudev told that one all to something called anavastha, because Bhagavan is equal to all. So if he bestows mercy for bhakti, then someone for someone not, then partiality comes for Bhagavan. So by the mercy of Bhagavan, bhakti will not arise. Now the fourth one, if Bhagavan
Bhaktar Kripa.
Why not? Because we have seen sometimes Bhagavan is giving mercy to someone and someone he bestows mercy. Just like who is evil person, Bhagavan giving punishment to them. And who is not evil, Bhagavan is bestows mercy. But this is Bhagavan's own quality, is Bhakta Vatsal, is controlled by his devotee. Then how bhakti is possible? Only by the mercy of his devotee. Devotee also three types: Uttam, Madhyam and Kanishtha. By the mercy of Uttam Bhakta, bhakti is not possible. Why so? Because Uttam Bhakta equal to all. It mentioned in Gita, the Sunichaiva Sabhakecha Brahmani Havigasthini by this law, that Uttam Bhakta is equal to all and Bhagavan also. So by the mercy of Uttam Bhakta, devotion not possible, bhakti not possible. By Kanishtha Bhakta, not possible at all. And how it is possible? Only by Madhyam Bhakta. The quality of Madhyam Bhakta is mentioned in scripture. Isare tadadhinesu, valiseesu disatsucha, prema maitri kipapeksha, jagaratisa madhyama. The Madhyam Bhakta, Madhyam Bhakta has some quality. Isare means in God. What he has been. The Madhyam Adhikari has faith for Bhagavan and Maitri means friendship for devotee and mercy for who is junior to him, but he is completely divided from Mayavad, and who is against of devotee, for them he neglect. So this four quality of Madhyam Bhakta. So if Madhyam Bhakta bestows mercy, then fault will not come in him. So only by Madhyam Bhakta someone can get mercy. In these circumstances, somewhat not Puja Tudra told today as before, someone asked this question to Gurudev, that our Purvacharya Narad Rishi is Uttam Bhakta, but he bestows mercy to Nalduvar and Manikri. So we'll think he is Madhyam Bhakta? No. Our Guru Bhargavs, they are not Madhyam, they are Uttam Bhakta, but Madhyam Adhikar included in his heart. So when he wants to bestow his mercy, then he comes down from his own stage, come to Madhyam, then he bestows his mercy. He called all devotees and bestows his mercy. If he do so, then fault will not come in him. This is the quality of Madhyam Bhakta. And Madhyam also, that he has praying for Bhagavan and Maitri for devotee. Maitri also three types, means Maitri is friendship. The first one, Seva Yukta Maitri, who is senior to that Madhyam Bhakta, he is render service to him with friendship. Then Maitri Yukta Maitri, who is equal level, their friendship, like bosom friend. And the third one, Kripa Yukta Maitri, who is little junior to him, he is best to his mercy with Kripa, means friendship with their work with mercy, because it's junior to him, by these three ways of Maitri. Now Gurudev arises another question, from where Madhyam Adhikar getting bhakti, that he is donating bhakti to others? Bhakti is in his heart, so from heart he is infused to others. By this way Srila Gurudev explained how someone can achieve bhakti. And now Gurudev has another question, that Bhagavan is killing demons, it is not partiality or not fault in him. Why not? The demons, what activities they are doing, by that they may not be delivered from this material world, Bhagavan killing him and he is giving some good destination. What is not
he is not
by
killing
you?
Atma, but this physical body.
That Bhagavan not killing Atma, he is killing this physical body, he is removing this physical body and he purifies their soul and saves some good destination. What is not achievable by him, so easily even by Yogi also. Hare Krishna.
One question. It seems that everyone, all living entities who come in contact with Krishna, whether they are positive or favorable or unfavorable, they receive some good merit, they improve their situation. Similarly, many examples are there from living entities who are against bhakti, but by coming in contact with devotees, they develop some favorable interest after repeated contact and they become inclined. So how can we understand this fact? We say bhakti is only dependent on madhyama bhakta, but still anyone who hears accidentally the holy name, he may be very materialistic, but after some time repeated hearing, he may become very favorable. How can we understand this? This is my question.
But how? Where he heard that name? Only by Madhyam Adhikari, because he goes door to door and preaches this thing, the glory of bhakti.
In this world there are so many names, like in Holland we have one magazine, it is called Panorama. Yeah. So we say Rama, Rama, Panorama, some benefit is there.
By that bhakti will not come. Only by pure this Madhyam Adhikari he will hear. If Uttam Adhikari, he will come mercifully in Madhyam Adhikar, then he will may do kripa. So anyhow, anyone has to touch with Madhyam Adhikari. Without this, anyone cannot have bhakti.
But Krishna is all pure. If we are coming in contact with that which is pure, we become purified, even if we don't want. Is that correct? Our Shastras are telling, by the nature of association, the nature of the object that comes in contact changes.
But anyhow, you will have come to Madhyam Adhikari. Anyhow, by this, anyone you will have to come. Without them, who will tell you?
That is, in the end, we have to come to Madhyam Adhikari.
Anyhow, you will have
to come. If you are in an antagonistic mood, then you will come in contact.
But what about Namabhas, Sanketa, somebody is...
Namabhas is very hard. Not so easy.
Someone is making joke at devotees, oh Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How this is coming from Madhyam? He's just telling.
He says Madhuram, Madhuram. Mangala, Mangala.
Anyhow, we'll have to know the glory of Madhyam Adhikari.
Madhyam Adhikari, has to be Uttam Bhakta who has come down from Madhyam?
Huh? He is a Madhyam Adhikari. He must be Uttam Bhakta who comes to the level of Madhyam.
Yes. Nice. Like Narada. When he is doing...
Ordinary Madhyam cannot.
You should know that Uttam Bhagavata always engaged in chanting, remembering, in Bhagavat Lila Smaran. He has no time to see who is Mayabaddha and who is not Mayabaddha. He thinks that all are
liberated
and serving Krishna. Even crosses and plants and all.
Only
he thinks. But when he descends in Madhyam, then he says, oh, all are unhappy without Krishna. So I must give them bhakti.
Ordinary Madhyam can't give such another bhakti.
I know that this question arises, so I told them when Uttam Bhakta they come down in their Madhyam state, then they bestow their mercy.
What about the preaching of a Kanishka Adhikari? We're doing Nagar Satyaka, Harinam here and there. We're preaching on the streets. What benefit is that? What is the problem?
You are in Madhyam Adhikar.
No, I'm not.
So Maharaj is asking, that being a Kanishka Adhikar, we are doing Harinam this and that, then how people will benefit it? Because we are not doing independently. Yeah. We are guidance of Uttam Adhikari, like Gurudev. So under his guidance, we are like a postman. We are distributed that. We are not doers. We are not think we are doing. If we think that we are doers, that is not effective. If we think under guidance of Gurudev, by his mercy of doing, that will be effective.
Hare Krishna.
You should explain the mercy and teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 15 minutes.
ज्ञानन्तरतलाकय चक्षुरं परिशामेन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. First I offer my humble obeisances.
Can you clarify this subject more?
I offer my humble obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Paramaraja Samadhi Guru Padapadma, Nijalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pai, Astolis Siddha Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Vidanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Paramaraja Samadhi Guru Padapadma, Om Vishnu Pai, Astotara Sata Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta, Narayana Sastai Maharaj. To all of our Guru Bhaga and all the assembled devotees, Srila Gurudev has ordered me to speak about the speciality of the mercy and teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have all heard that the uniqueness of his teaching is present in a few verses that Srila Gurudev and also our Srila Prabhupada often quote. That is, Anarpita Chirinchada Kurunayavatya Namskalo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give what no other incarnation or acharya has given in a very, very long time. How long? Since the previous day of Brahma, many trillions of years before. And what is that? Unatotralatam svabhakti kriyam. He came to give that highest service to the jivas, the service to Srimati Radhika, and he came to take also that service in the mood of Srimati Radhika, because he's Krishna himself. I'd like to take a few moments to explain that same principle from another verse. Srila Gurudev has just produced his Rai Ramanand Sambhad, which is a compilation of various lectures that he gave in Hindi over the last few years. There, in the first verse of Rai Ramanand Sambhad, Srila Gurudev translates Prabhupada Siddhanta Chayamrita team. That is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ocean, Gauravdhir. He's an ocean that's fathomless without beginning and end. He's an ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta. And there are four kinds of bhakti. Krishna himself is an ocean of bhakti. There are four kinds of bhakti. Dasyaraj, that is the relationship of servitorship. There's Sakyaraj, the relationship of friendship. Then there's parental, the relationship of mother or father relating with Krishna's son. And there's conjugal mellow, which has two parts, Swatantra and Paratantra, or the love of Srimati Radhika, Lalita, Vishaka, and the other gopis like that, and those gopis who are dependent, who are serving in the wake of those independent gopis, just like Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, and so on. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravdhir, is a fathomless ocean of bhakti, his own bhakti, or the bhakti of his devotees to him. He can be the taster of those relationships. He can be the object of the love of those devotees. So he has some theoretical knowledge. Krishna has some theoretical knowledge. He has realized knowledge of what it likes to be the taster of his devotees' love, but he has only theoretical knowledge of what it's like to be the reservoir of love, like Mother Yasoda, as Srila Gurudev is explaining in the morning, or of his friends, or what to speak of the gopi. We hear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Goda Hari, which means that he stole the complexion and the mood of Goda, Gaudi, that is, Srimati Radhika. But Srila Gurudev explains that actually he doesn't have the capacity to do that. Srimati Radhika is Sri Krishna's Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. That is, she is the embodiment of all of Bhagavan's bhagya or quality. She is the embodiment of his knowledge as well. So she is too much alert for him to steal her mood and complexion. So in Wales, Srila Gurudev explained that Krishna said to Srimati Radhika, I want to understand your love. What you see about me that I can't even experience? What is the glory of your love that makes me mad just like a leaf twirling in the wind? You're like the wind and I'm like a leaf. And what is the happiness you experience that's 10 million times greater than mine? Can I please borrow that consciousness of yours, that love? She said, yes, I'll lend it to you, but I'll also have to help you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the complexion and mood of Radhika. But Srila Gurudev said, do you think he realized it right away? No, he needed the help of Rai Ramananda, who is the cloud which is infused with the power of the ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta. When the sun is there, the water from the ocean goes up into the clouds, and then those clouds on a certain nakshatra, that is the Swati nakshatra, pour the water over that same ocean and make that ocean Ratnalaya, which is also explained in this first verse. The ocean becomes full of jewels. So by the mercy of Srimati Radhika and her associates, like Vishaka coming in the form of Rai Ramananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a repository of jewels, or an ocean of realization of Srimati Radhika's love. And because Vishaka is born on the same day as Radhika, she has very similar moods. So she was able to help Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu to understand her moods. Similarly, Radhika had to come as Sri Gadadhar Pandit And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, he went to visit Gadadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath, and here his own pastimes repeated again. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam again from Radharani's point of view. No one can understand or explain her moods except for her. So in the form of Gadadhar Pandit, he explained it, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then became that same Gauravdhir or ocean, but now full of jewels of realization. He got realization of all the rasas, the taste of his devotees, and even the taste of Palyadasibab. Rai Ramananda also revealed to him Rupa Duga Bhakti. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted the love of Srimati Radhika, and he also gave what no other incarnation or acharya gave previous to Mahaprabhu's coming one day earlier, the previous day of Brahma. That is, he gave this Paratantra love. In the Rai Ramananda Sambad, Srila Gurudev explains, there's no greater devotees, as he explained tonight, than the gopis. Of all the Prajvasis, the gopis are the best, and of all the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the best. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now is tasting the love of Srimati Radhika. It isn't again that Krishna stole that mood. It isn't even that on his own Krishna wanted that mood, but rather she inspired him to want that mood, because she is his knowledge personified. Srila Gurudev gave an example that suppose Radha and Krishna are walking in the forest. Krishna is very thirsty, but he doesn't want to admit it. So Radharani, knowing his mood, says, I'm so thirsty, why don't we stop for water? And he says, oh, that's such a good idea. So she inspires in him all happiness and brings out his desires. So Mahaprabhu, now tasting the love of Srimati Radhika, he can give that in the form of his devotees like Srila Rupa Goswami and his followers. He gave what no other incarnation gave before. That is, tat-tat bhava ichchagnika. Not having any direct relationship with Krishna, but tasting all the moods of Srimati Radhika as she tastes it. Whatever is in Radharani's mind, that's tasted by the mantris, and whatever is on her body, that's also tasted by the mantris. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that. As you must have read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radhika is like the creeper, and it's like the creeper going around the tree of Sri Krishna, and her leaves and manjaris and flowers are her different kinds of sakis. So, alone, she does not want to enjoy her relationship with Krishna, but she wants that relationship to be nourished by her sakis. They're nourished by her sakis, and they're broadcast by her sakis. Sri Rai Ramananda told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that without the association, instruction, and guidance of her sakis, no one can get that pure bhakti and enter into the kunjas and become the maidservant of Srimati Radhika, which is the special gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Now, what Srila Gurudev was explaining just now, how bhakti is in the heart of the bhakta, and that bhakti is the madhyama bhakta. But that pure bhakti is in the heart of the uttama bhakta when he comes in the role of the madhyama bhakta. The madhyama bhakta, who's actually a madhyama bhakta, he can help the devotees by giving some instruction, but he can't give pure bhakti because he doesn't have it. The Kanista Adhikari can give Sukritis, but he can't give pure bhakti. The Uttama Bhakta can give the seed of pure bhakti at the time of initiation, at Bhakti Lata Beach, and by his words of instructions. So Gurudev was teaching Manashiksha to a few English devotees about 10 or 12 years ago. And I was sitting in the front row. There was only about 10 of us. And then Gurudev looked down and said to me, "This is Diksha, not the Anusthanika Diksha of the Swaha Swaha, but the words of the pure devotee that impregnates into the heart so that the devotee can enter into, or our Srila Prabhupada gave us the seed of Diksha, and Srila Gurudev is nourishing that seed and making it grow into creepers with so many leaves, and then the insides of the leaves is Raghunatha Bhakti. So only the pure devotee can actually impregnate anyone with the seed or nurture the seed of pure bhakti. Otherwise, the Kanista Adhikari can give Sukritis. And then he brings the followers to the pure devotee who is now in the role of a Majjhima Adhikari. Just like Narada, when he was in the role of Narada the Uttama Adhikari, he saw Kamsa as already serving Krishna. There's no question of preaching. To preach to Drupa Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, he has to take the role of a Majjhima Adhikari. Therefore, Srila Gurudev, our Srila Prabhupada, and all pure devotees, they follow the principles. On one hand, they follow the principles of the Majjhima Adhikari. They avoid those who are envious. They, if somebody is coming to them very innocently, they say, "Oh, what's your name? Oh, you're so intelligent. Here, have a love you. I think you're so qualified. You're qualified to take Diksha." Gurudev explained it in this way. Giving mercy to the innocent, explaining Shiksha to those who are a little higher, relating in an intimate way of sharing realizations with those who are equal, like Srila Gurudev did with our Srila Prabhupada. And his Gurudev, although in the form of his Diksha Guru, when Srila Gurudev was telling him about Gopal Champu and how Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami is so rustic, then his Gurudev, because he's so intimate with Srila Gurudev, his Gurudev began weeping uncontrollably because he knew that he understood his mood. So with those who are equal, they share realization. And with those who are higher, they give their life and their heart and their soul and their neck. Okay, go bring them and do them.